folks. Welcome back to Who Booked This? I'm Stephen Graham.
And I'm J.R. Goldberg.
And we're the Golden Grahams.
And... I laugh every time.
I only do it like every third episode.
Sure.
I don't want to overplay the joke.
Right. It's a good joke, though. It really is.
Yeah. I got to look up who said it first, because that's good.
Yeah. They deserve kudos.
Yeah. It's good to combine last names. People like to do that. Funny enough, one time someone was trying to make a joke at my expense, and they called me a Golden Graham. Is that bad?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, you'd call me a delicious breakfast cereal.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Roasted, you know?
I used to get graham cracker a lot.
Ah, sure.
But I don't think it's because I was white. I think it's just like what goes with graham. So, since last episode, we got a Twitter.
Yeah, we put a Twitter up.
Yeah.
Well, you put a Twitter up. I did nothing.
Well, I had the Yeti. It's good as our avatar. Who booked the pod is the name of Twitter. You can go there. You can basically post what shows are coming up. You can do your request there, and I'll post the new shows to that Twitter. And if you want to ask questions about shows that are coming up, I'm sure we'll answer them. I don't know. What else podcast Twitters do? I'll have to research that.
I don't know. Steven will have to give me the password at some point, and maybe I'll like live tweet raw from that account or
okay,
something.
Yeah. The password's pretty great.
Don't say it on air.
It's pretty good.
Did you see someone remind, I think Boss Morrissey, who's a pretty funny Twitter follow, tweeted and reminded me of the time that someone hacked Dave Meltzer on the Wrestling Observer message board because they figured out that the password to his account
was Dave. That's good.
Yeah. So I hope the password is better than Dave. That's all I can ask for at this point.
It's better, but not much.
Not much? Okay, fair enough.
Not much better. Someone else actually tweeted me, and they reminded me about how good the All Japan Excite series was, with me and Parv. And it's on the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network archives. You can go and listen to me and Parv talk about all these great matches from history.
Yeah.
On the other end of the spectrum, there's this show.
There's this. Yeah. I loved Parv's podcast when he was doing a lot.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
We had some disagreement. I just messaged you the password. The second one.
Fair enough. Okay. Be sure to read it on air at some point. Read it out loud.
We should. And then I'll have to change it.
we should do like a 24-hour go nuts period after every episode. We'll just tell people the password. They can do whatever they want.
We should have put up a poll for what the password should be.
Yeah. You guys decide. No, when we inevitably start a Patreon, that'll be one of the things. If you pay us per month, you get to decide the password.
Oh, boy.
All right.
This is fun. Just like the circus. Which
that segue was as terrible as this match.
Which brings us to this match. This is from Triple Mania a couple years ago. Most notably, it was one that everyone was watching.
Yes, it was the first live stream of Triple Mania, right?
Yeah, this was just the Rey Mystico main event?
Yes, it was the Rey Mystico one.
Which I really liked.
Yeah. This is not... Well, it's not a great...
Okay, let's say what the match is.
All right, fine. We'll say what the match is.
It's the... it's Los Villanos, 3, 4, and 5, versus Psycho Circus. Fuck, we got Murder Clown... We got Psycho Monster Clown and Monster Clown.
Yeah.
Best wrestling name ever, Murder Clown?
No, so Murder Clown is good, but it's not even the best wrestling name in the Psycho Circus. Dave the Clown is the best wrestling name.
That's true.
So
this was requested by Daniel Kuchler. Is that right?
Yeah, Danny Kuchler. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, but okay, so, great guy. Yeah. Laid up a little bit right now, so I'm glad we could do this. I hope wherever he is, he's listening.
He was when I put up a Twitter message saying, did anyone want to watch Shitty Wrestling with me as a podcast? He threw his name into the hat, but you had beat him out.
Ah, okay. Well, so, maybe we'll have him on one time. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
So to bring it back to the Psycho Circus, at Triple Mania this past year, the one with Dr. Wagner and Psycho Clown, as the main event, that was one that I think a lot of new fans were watching for the first time because it streamed on Twitch, you know?
Yeah.
And I was, live tweeting it and like people were asking questions like, oh, who's this dude? Who's that? What's happening now? And I remember people were asking questions and Cubs fan was obviously answering some and I'm trying to answer some and other people too. And I remember someone was like, all right, and there were so many clowns on this show. And they were in every match. The clowns were in literally 50% of the matches. And Dave the Clown shows up, does a run in or something. And someone was like, all right, who is this clown now? And I wrote Dave. And people thought I was joking. They were like, haha, no, serious. What is this clown's name?
It's Dave the Clown.
It's Dave the Clown. I don't know what to tell you. It was legitimately Dave the Clown.
That is amazing. By the way,
noted Twitch draw, Dave the Clown.
Yeah,
he's good for a 2,000 viewer increase all the time.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. I don't know why. We can't figure it out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be worth it?
Yeah. Well, because he's not a very good wrestler.
Fair enough. Yeah. So you had Mini Psycho Clown. You had Monster Clown, Murder Clown. You had, boy. There is 100 people in this match. Whoa, what is this? A tornado?
Which one are you watching?
I'm looking at the Triple Mania from the one with Psycho Clown, Dr. Wagner Jr. There's a Torino Lumberjack match?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
There was a lot on that pay-per-view. They just crammed you know how WrestleMania always, even before the Andre the Giant thing, they would always have, some sort of just get everybody on the card thing, but it would usually be the pre-show.
Yeah.
Triple Mania, they're just like, you know what, we're going to do that, but we'll do it twice and we'll do it in the middle of the show. So they had that insanely long elimination thing where people didn't know the rules and trios were coming out and Barrett was going. Yeah, they had a lot of stuff going on. There were a bunch of clowns.
Yeah. About. Man, I like this. And then at the end of this pro wrestling history part here, it says, aired live on television, drawing a 22.8 rating. Just insane.
Yeah, that outdrew the live so a replay of Triple Mania, because they played the tape of Psycho Clown versus Wagner after they played the live feed of Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather. The replay, or the tape delay, I should say, of the Wagner Psycho Clown match outdrew McGregor versus Mayweather.
Of course. Why wouldn't it?
Why wouldn't it? I mean, it was a better match. So
yeah,
the two worked matches that night. This one was better.
So this was August 9th, 2015. And we have.
Yeah, we'll go back. We'll actually talk about the match we watched.
Yeah. Now. Match, I just remembered now, I paid for.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah.
And a match that was universally shit on at the time.
Yes.
Dave
Meltzer, not Dave the Clown, different Dave the
Clown. A different clown, Dave.
Yeah. Busted out the ultra rare. Negative 5 stars for this match.
When is a negative 7 star match coming?
I assume soon. They'll probably give it to Park Rush just to.
Oh, come on. That's amazing. So I think let's before we get into the match, let's try to elaborate on why maybe it was shit on so horribly, because surprisingly, I think it was completely fine.
Yeah, so let's get this out of the way. Like, this is not a good match, but like it's also not nearly as bad as hearing negative 5 stars would lead you to believe.
This felt like an undercard match on Slamboree 93, a Legends reunion.
Sure, yeah. Like, I made a comparison later, like, while I was watching it. Like, I've seen Jimmy Valiant wrestle within the last 5 years, you know? And, like, this is no different than that, you know? Like, you see matches like this with, like, the Rock and Roll Express now still working, like, Little Southern Towns or whatever against local guys. Like, it's just a run-of-the-mill bad match with guys who aren't as athletic anymore versus guys who are really green, really, is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
So I couldn't find the English feed of this match on YouTube. I watched Cubs fans feed.
Yeah, me too.
Which is the Spanish feed of it. And you get it a little bit, but I think the reason this match was so universally panned at the time was because there were so many audio issues during English feed of the match, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, and I remember
commentary
that,
like, was horrible.
Yeah.
And wasn't there, like, issues with the video, too? Like, it started late, and it cut out, and...
Yeah, I think it was just a really bad viewing experience for people on the video. Like, people watching this film or whatever it was, or the pay-per-view.
And people were on Twitter, and everyone's angry.
Yeah.
You know what is interesting about wrestling, and true about all art?
Yeah.
Your mood greatly affects how good or bad something is you're viewing.
100%, of course.
Yeah.
And so do your expectations, too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know if we were talking about it last week or if I was talking about it with somebody else, but someone, you know, pointed out to me or just sort of said in passing regarding the Omega Okada match that happened that, you know, 99% of wrestling fans know if they're going to like or hate that match before it happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's maybe less true for this match, but at the same time, like, it's, you know, your expectations of a match, like, if you go in there being like, this is going to really suck, you know, or if you're in a bad mood because the stream is constantly cutting out or whatever, you know, of course it's going to affect you, you know, just like the other people. If you're on Twitter and everybody else is crapping on it, you know, I mean, it colors your opinion of stuff,
yeah.
You know,
is it?
And also Dave, who famously never rewatches anything, right? You know, that yeah. He only writes things in the moment, you know, I mean, to him, this is probably the worst match ever. And it's never been, you know,
is it wrong of me that I was moderately excited for this match before it happened?
No. First of all,
I love Lano 3. Like,
yeah.
He's like one of my top 10 favorite wrestlers ever. I love Lano yeah. 3.
I mean, you can make a case. Like, all right. So before I actually watched this match, I put this note down because I thought it was an interesting discussion point. I don't think this match is the worst match of all time. But for someone who may, you know, you could make a case that Viano 3 is the only wrestler who's been in the best match of all time and the worst match of all time.
I think there may be two wrestlers who have been in a negative 5-star and a 5-star match rated by Dave Meltzer.
Oh, who's the other?
Steve Austin, maybe.
Oh.
Was he in a 5-star match with Meltzer? Was
yeah,
WrestleMania
13?
I assume so. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if it was, there was that in the scaffold match. Negative 5 stars, which was requested to us, so maybe we'll get to that.
Maybe we do that soon.
Yeah, we'll do that soon. But so there might be two wrestlers in history have been in a negative and a positive 5-star match.
Yeah, The Honor 3 is a better worker than Austin, though.
Well, yeah. But
by the way, The Honor 3 versus Steve Austin would be an awesome match.
Oh my, in 2000?
Yeah, that would have been great.
Oh, man. Okay.
All right.
So, I gotta say, I love the Psycho Circus's entrance.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It was really good.
It's really awesome. They have all these, like, fucking circus performers around.
They have jugglers. They have clowns on clown bikes. They had everything.
So, let's give some context to people. Because, like, we've done matches where I feel like there probably doesn't need to be a ton of context. But, like, this one maybe for people who, like, don't watch a lot of lucha or whatever. Like, so, the Psycho Circus is a stable of evil clowns.
Yeah.
They, when they debuted in AAA, they debuted with like a Goldberg like streak, and the numbers were just as work. Like every win they had, they would announce that it would equal 5 wins. So like after every show, their record would be 5 times better than it was before, basically. They also, the original gimmick was like they would go into the crowd and try and steal children. Like they had like a sack, like Krampus, and they would literally try and stuff children in the sacks and then like let them escape. And so that's one side.
There's another aspect. So in the 80s, one of the most legendary wrestling feuds was the Brazos and the Villanos.
Yes.
Some of the greatest matches of all time were between these two trios teams. And some or all of the clowns are...
I think two of the three are
part of the Brazos family. So this is kind of like a reunion of a classic feud in a way.
Yeah. And so, and the Villanos took the Brazos masks in the 80s.
Yeah.
I believe that was basically most of, I mean, lucha angles are simplistic anyway, but I think that was the basis for this, where the promos, the Villanos were saying like, you know, we're the best wrestling family. You know, we took the Alvarado family's masks. So, you know, this is just more proof that we're better. You know, I mean, that's simple, good pro wrestling storytelling.
Yeah.
You know? There.
One question I have from the start here, and I don't speak Spanish, so I'm not sure what Villano 3 was talking about, but Villano 3 famously lost his mask in 2000 in an all-time great match, the greatest match ever, actually, versus Atlantis, according to me. Villano 4 lost his mask to Blue Panther in another great match. I do not know if Villano 5 still has his mask.
No, it didn't. 5?
Oh, maybe 5 lost.
5 lost it to Blue Panther, and 4 still has his mask.
4 still has. But before this match, Villano 3 cuts a promo, and then they decide to wear their masks in the match.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay.
I don't speak enough Spanish to – but yes, they did all wear their masks, and it didn't make a ton of sense. But
the crowd was into it, though. They liked it.
Yeah, the crowd was super into it. So again, this is another thing that you know, we've done this a lot where we've watched these matches and the crowd that's there is like surprisingly vocal throughout. You know,
they're loving it.
Yeah, the crowd is pretty into it. Just like the fucking. The Kali match. I guess he didn't even wrestle in it. No. Punjabi prison match. People were into that match, right?
Hogan Giant. People were
Hogan Giant. People were into.
Yeah,
you know.
I would. Yeah. We have to watch a shitty match where the crowd shits on it sometime.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Lesnar Goldberg is the one that I can really think of. Yeah. The crowd.
But right? Even like Johnny Ace, Johnny Cena, the crowd wasn't shitting on it.
No, they were going along with it.
They were having fun.
By the way, this is way better than that match. I'm just going to throw it out there.
It was. Yeah. I don't have too much notes. Basically, to me, it was just the Volanos are old and fat.
Yeah.
But, all their strikes are hitting very well. They're a little bit slower, but, it's not like they weren't embarrassingly slow, were they?
So there's two moments that are that I think stand out in people's mind. And unfortunately, they sort of bookend the match. So one is within the first 30 seconds, Psycho Clown and Four, I think, maybe it's three, I can't remember who's going. And I didn't take notes, are fighting back and forth, and they have a couple strikes. And then Psycho Clown does an arm drag, and then they pop back up, and he does a second arm drag. And the Viano that gets arm dragged the second time, sort of makes an attempt to get up, and then is just nope, yeah, that's not happening, and just sort of lies back down. And
was that
and
I thought that was not bad.
Yeah, all right. I mean, come on. It's not great.
Yeah. But in the context of a wrestling match, right?
Yeah.
If this was real,
you're an old man. I wouldn't go for an Irish whip either, but
you're an old man who just got tossed around?
Yeah.
Why would you get right back up and get tossed around again? Have a siesta.
I like this. I like this. The Vianos are doing galaxy brain selling right here.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? I'll give them credit. That's fine. That's the most PWO we've ever gotten. Go.
Well, I post it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the first thing that stands out into my mind of people when they're watching this, they're just sort of oh. And I think really the inherent issue with this match is that when stuff like that happens, I mean, Psycho Clown is still very green at this point. Even though they're a couple of years in, he still wasn't very good. I mean, he's passable now, but he's not an all-star. And Monster Clown and Murder Clown are absolutely useless. I mean, they still are. None of them know what to do when they have to improvise a little bit, I think. There's that point where they just sort of, stand around a little bit. And then I think there's a point in the match where and I couldn't tell. I mean, maybe if we watch this with a wrestler, they'd be able to pinpoint something, or maybe they were just talking back and forth. But there's a point midway through the match. The match is only 11 minutes, by the way. So by midway through the match, I mean minute four or something. where the Psycho Circus clearly comes to the conclusion that everything they have to do, everything they should do on offense needs to be super light. And so there's a few spots where things look really gentle. There's a Monster Clown does a press slam and literally just lightly puts down one of the Vianos. Yeah. And then there's that leads into a spot where all three clowns jump on each other's backs and do a triple splash.
Yeah.
But the splash again is it's like you wrestling with a younger cousin or something like that. It's very, very light,
I actually marked out for that spot.
Did you?
Cause they were like a circus act doing a circus thing.
So then it's not a bad spot in theory, but in practice it looked not great, right?
It didn't look great, but I like the thought behind it.
Yeah, so I'll say this about this match. I wrote this down a bunch. This match, there are a ton of really well-organized and well-thought-out sequences and spots and set pieces. There's a really great sequence where the Vianos look like they're going to do some triple team offense. But Monster Clown is on the outside and he single-handedly trips both Vianos and pulls them out. And then the other two clowns do like sequence double dives onto the Vianos.
That was my favorite and part of the match. I love that.
Yeah, a great, great sequence. It's just like, it's a little slower than what you might see in another match. So the viewer gets a bit ahead of it. Like, there's a Tower of Doom spot that I think is really good. You know, and looks really well. Like, everything that they've done, like, this match is well laid out. It's just slow because they have three people in it that can't go fast.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know. It's not great, but like, I would never watch this and go, ah, that sucks. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'd rather people, to me, like my own personal taste, I'd rather people work slow and smart than fast and stupid.
Yeah. So I have like a longstanding theory, and I wrote a big article about it, based around like modern day Steve Gray matches. which are a guilty pleasure of mine. But it affects here too, or I mean, it applies here, I guess, when older wrestlers work, it's the thing that really separates it. And the ones that make can work it in, like Steve Gray is really good at it. Like they can still do some things at the same speed and with the same impact that they can. It's just their balance is worse, you know?
Yeah.
So like everything in the moment is just as fast. It's just a lot of it takes longer to set up, and the doing them is more precarious, because to do any wrestling move takes sort of supreme athleticism. To do it where, you know, you run the risk of just be giving out, or, you know, tilting to one side a little bit more, you just have to be that much more careful in a kayfabe way and in a just worker's way. It allows your opponents to, you know, easily interact with you a little bit more. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe it's less interesting than I think.
No, it's interesting. It's probably it kind of explains things pretty well. Especially what's going on here. Like, you can see, like, that's the thing about wrestlers, is that the mind doesn't go, it's the body.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so you can see, like, Volano 3 is a master, and he...
Oh, yeah.
And you can kind of a little bit see it in this match. Obviously, if you want to check out Prime Volano 3, do not check out 2015 Volano 3.
Yeah, I mean, just watch the Atlantis match.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
Even if you watch, like, I'll say this, like, Viano 3 is obviously a better worker than Viano 5, but that, the, what was that, the 80, what was it? I don't even remember. What anniversario did he main event with Panther, that mask match?
It was something like 85. I don't know the exact year.
Yeah. Because, like, that match is also amazing. I mean, that match is at least as good, you know, as the, for different reasons, as the Atlantis match. I mean, it's less epic, yeah. But
didn't 5 and 4 switch out at some point?
Yeah.
Isn't that the rumor? Is that?
Yeah, probably. I met 4 over the weekend, or at least somebody claiming to be 4. He was at that bizarre lucha show in Maryland that I went to.
We should claim to be luchadors.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that always the joke with Dr. Wanker, that when he lost his mask, I think Cubs fan pissed, like, 250 women just learned that they're not dating Dr. Wanker.
That's good.
Yeah.
Man, wrestling's fun. So
wrestling is,
I've got to say this. So we're like 11, 12 episodes in or whatever now.
Sure. Yeah.
So we've watched 11 or 12 matches or whatever. Just to clarify.
We've watched some number.
We have. And these have been suggested to us as some of the worst matches ever.
Yeah. Or at least ones that are memorably bad.
Memorably
right?
bad.
Yeah.
I gotta say, very few of them have been really bad.
I've liked like 80% of them.
Yeah. Like, I watched, this will get me some people to stop listening to the show here. So I apologize that our listener count will go down.
Sure.
But a few years ago, I was doing a weekly podcast with Johnny Sorrow and Pete Schirmacher. And we were, mm-hmm. you know, watching weekly wrestling and talking about it. And we were reviewing a PWG show. I don't know which one it was, but I gotta say, there was one or two matches of like the 12 matches on that show I liked. I would say 10 of those matches I hated way more than anything we've watched on this show.
Sure. I mean, that's a really interesting point that like wrestling so much, especially for people who watch as much wrestling as you or I or any of our listeners, do. Like wrestling is really about aesthetic favor. Right. It's what you like, you know, and you know what you like and you know what you don't. You know, I didn't like the match, but like this match is not bad to me because the style of wrestling that I like, when it's done poorly or mediocre, it equates to things like this. While like your average Davey Richards match, like, would be way worse aesthetically for me. Yeah. I think it's ridiculous, you know?
Yeah, and some people, you know, the complete opposite. And
sure. Yeah.
That's fair, too. Everyone's got their own thing, right?
Right.
And as long as you can justify it.
It's what you grow... Yeah, show your work. As long as you show your work, I'm fine with anything, you know? But it's what you grow up on, too. You know, I mean, you and I were, I mean, I would say lucky enough, although that's a silly way to put it, to discover and grow as wrestling fans on Death Valley Driver, where we were encouraged in our formative years to find wrestlers that we liked for simple and earnest reasons, even if they were outside of the accepted norm of what was considered good taste at the time, you know? Yeah. While many, many people, you know, became fans and, you know, like I know hugely if I had spent the same amount of time watching wrestling and reading about it on the internet, but on the Wrestling Observer message boards rather than Death Valley Driver, I would be a very different fan now,
yeah.
You know?
Makes sense.
It's not to say that I'm a lemming or that I'm a sheep or something like that, but you get worn down with opinions and you also learn to other people's perspectives, you know, when you're listening to them every day, you know?
Yeah. Do you know what the first wrestling I ever saw in my life was?
No.
It was GLOW.
Was it?
My dad used to tape it for my sister because she liked it and she was 4 years older than me. And I watched some stuff with her before, you know, I discovered WWF and grew up with that. But yeah, GLOW.
My first memory of wrestling, and I have no idea if I assume this is the first time I watched it. My dad and mom were not wrestling fans, so you know, I'm sure I just sort of turned on at some point. I have a very distinct memory of a run-in. From, I guess at that point, he was the man with no name. So I guess, it, you know, Brutus Beefcake, really. And he did a run in after a match and sort of, you know, must have chased off some pills or something. And like, I was convinced that he was like the toughest, coolest dude on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
But I was wrong. but I was convinced. But yeah, so that's my first wrestling memory.
I'm trying to think of.
And then I remember also, like, right around that time, walking to school with my dad and asking my dad who his favorite wrestler was, him to say Brutus Beefcake. or whatever is, you know, the man with no name. But instead he said it was Hulk Hogan because he was champion.
Oh.
And I was like, what? I don't understand how Brutus Beefcake is not the champion.
Yeah, my family did not. My sister briefly watched then, but gave up with it quickly. The first wrestler I remember seeing was Mount Fuji.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So that's my entry point, which is great.
Yeah.
We should watch some Glow on this show. Someone request us Glow match.
Yeah, that'd be good.
We'll just watch an episode of Glow.
Yeah, we could do it. We could do an episode of
Glow. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah. Okay. Man, do we have anything?
As long as it's the one that has the wrap on it, because I have a lot of
paper. Oh, yeah, one with the wrap. We'll do that. Yeah. I'll find one.
Did you like the Netflix show? Did you
watch the Netflix show? I love the Netflix show, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I was, I think, a little lukewarm on it compared to a lot of other people.
Yeah?
Hmm. Yeah. I don't know why. I was expecting it to grab me more than it did, you know?
I really like Alison Brie, I think.
Yeah, she's great. You know, I think that, like, for whatever reason, like, and a lot of times with prestige television, it doesn't bother me, but maybe with Glow, it did. Like, I think that I want likable characters maybe a little bit more than, you know, yeah. I just, everyone is, like, real and flawed in that show in, like, very meaningful ways, but I sort of just, you know?
Yeah. Part of it for me was the fact that my wife was enjoying something with wrestling in it.
Sure. Yeah.
Now that me and my wife have separated, we'll see if I like season two or hate it and will refuse to watch it, which I'm learning quite a bit. Some things you may not like anymore, which is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Your tastes change, you know, you grow as people.
And also bad memories.
Yeah.
What else? Do we have anything else about this match? It was fine. Like, yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way, but
the Viano dive spot too looks really good. You know,
I like when they rammed the clown's head into the post.
Yeah. That was good. There were a lot of good a lot of really good planned spots in this match. You know, they were just done in slow motion.
Yeah.
We'll say the other sort of like bookend to this match, and I think sort of the thing that maybe put it over the top, people that were watching it live, you know, experiencing the rigmarole with the audio and stuff. I mean, so like you can go like watch cell phone footage of this match or whatever, but then imagine that you can only hear Matt Stryker complaining about the fact that the audio is bad.
Oh, and he was like checking Twitter. It was like, oh, the audio is still shit. It's like.
Yeah.
And
like, just put that in your head as, you know, like, boy, he sucks a lot, doesn't he?
He's not good.
Yeah.
It's true. Poor Matt Stryker.
Poor Matt Stryker. Yeah. But at any rate, I will say, like, there is a segment towards the end where Psycho Clown is finally, after the Viano's double dive, Psycho Clown and Viano 3 are left standing one-on-one in the match. And they have, like, a little sequence where there's some good strikes. And then, I don't know if he just gets gassed or, like, gets too hurt. But, like, then there's a splash. Like, Psycho Clown does a splash. And Viano 3, like, clearly does not kick out, right? And has, like, no plan to kick out of this match. So Psycho Clown just sort of, like, stops covering him and like is like pointing around at things, like who knows really, and like you could tell he was really lost. Then kudos to him, because like any good wrestler with good instincts, he decides that the best course of action when he's lost and doesn't know the next thing to do is to just shoot punch somebody.
Yes.
And at the end of this match, like the last minute, is just Psycho Clown punching another Viano as hard as he can in the face over and over again.
What I liked about that too is that's how the match started, like stiff strikes. Yeah, so it was full circle.
Full circle, yeah. To give back to our older podcast, it's the idea of the, you know, like reflective storytelling, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Very well thought out
match. Yeah, this is a well laid out match. It's just, you know, it goes to show that, you know, you can lay out a really good match, but if the people there are not capable of doing those things, then it's going to fall flat. Kind of like a Shawn Michaels match, you know?
You know what's amazing about this is that we have just spent 40 minutes talking about a match I had 6 notes about that went 11 minutes.
Yeah! Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, you know? This match is very, very interesting, theoretically, for me. Like, I could talk about stuff like this all the time. I bet you I have more to say about this match than I will about Okada Omega when I finally watch it.
You're going to watch it?
Sure, of course I'll watch it. I watch all the well-regarded New Japan stuff at the end of the year before I turn in a match of the year.
I used to do that. But then I realized, like, the people who, no one else is doing that. No one else is going out and not no one else, but the majority of people aren't watching all the highly regarded Joshi and the highly regarded indie women's matches and the highly regarded Lucha. So I'm going to stick to what I like because that's what everyone else is doing. And
I guess my counterpoint is that I like to be a better fan.
I used to, but I broke.
Because I'm snooty, you know? And also, like, the vast majority of it will not be for me, but generally I find one thing that I think transcends in some way and makes it onto my ballot, you know? Yeah. You know, generally it's one or two matches a year, but, you know, I suggest other people watch Lucha so much. I think maybe it's only fair if I let the same people give me a couple matches to watch, you know. I will say that I have to limit them, you know, because like if I you know, ask Joe Lanza, hey, what matches from the G1 should I watch, I'll get a list of 40 matches, and no, that's not happening, right? But if I ask people for like the greatest hits, you know, if I ask people for the top 5, then that's more amazing.
I broke 2 years ago, man. I don't know what happened. Yeah. I used to have New Japan World. I watched like all the G1 stuff and all that stuff, and I was enjoying it, and I don't know what happened. But I hit a breaking point, and that's a part of my life that's in the past.
Yeah. You know, it may be something that I enjoy in the future. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's, you know, like I was talking about someone earlier, strangely enough, about Continental versus Memphis, right?
Okay.
And they were saying that they like Continental better, which is like I think a minority opinion, but it's not indefensible, you know? And I said in response, I said, you know, well, like Continental has a lot going for it, and like it's probably booked like, you know, better, maybe in a very similar fashion. Like, I like a lot of the Continental booking. It's just they don't have Lawler. You know, they don't have anyone that's as good as Lawler. You know, they probably don't even have anyone that's as good as Dundee. And he said, the person I was talking to about it, said, you know, it's a lot like New Japan now for him with Memphis, because he doesn't like Lawler. So he likes Continental better. Whereas if you're not a fan of Tanahashi or Okada, it's easy to not like New Japan because so much of it is based around their sort of personality, you know?
And that's where I'm in.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too.
But, so, you know, I like Kushida, and I go to the Ring of Honor shows in Toronto, which always filled with New Japan guys. I got what? Naito versus Beer City Bruiser this year. So, so that was fun. I like that. So that's my yearly New Japan watching, is that show.
Yeah.
But you know, one day, you never know. They might suck me back in.
You never know. You know, it could. I mean,
Hiromu is bringing in Jericho is not the way to do it.
No. No.
That's not me. But we are off topic.
We're very off topic. But that's okay. You know, I mean, this match was good. And honestly, thank you, Danny Kukler, because I was really expecting to rewatch this match and get very sad.
I did too.
Because in my mind's eye of this match, like, it was like watching three old men almost have heart attacks. And that is not what this match is.
No, it's pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty decent. I would rewatch the, well, no, I wouldn't rewatch it. I wouldn't even necessarily recommend that someone watches it.
I wouldn't.
But I would say that, like, if you come across it, it's an interesting thought exercise to watch this match and see how perception colors reality for you, you know?
And I bet, like, as the way we watched it, I'm Cubs fan with the, with the audio being fine and stuff like that. No one would watch it and go -5 stars. Like, I think it was all circumstances.
No. I wouldn't even go -1 star.
I don't do negative stars.
I would maybe go +2.5 stars.
I would go maybe one and a half.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. But I hate star rating. I hate it so much.
I know. Maybe go -17.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah. So next week,
I got roped in / volunteered to do the VOW review of Takeover
Chicago.
The Takeover Chicago later this week. You know, we're recording this on Friday, so it's tomorrow. I still haven't decided what my gimmick is going to be with the meeting that I've found. Because Rich especially has stopped encouraging me to do star ratings.
You should give a rating of 5 stars for every minute of the match.
That's fair.
So rate each minute out of 5, and then just add it up.
And Dylan Hales made a joke about how Meltzer was rating things based around supreme mathematics, which is pretty funny. I thought about maybe doing a gematria based gimmick because I'm very Jewish. Gematria is the Jewish numerology where each letter of the Hebrew alphabet is worth a numeric value.
Okay. You can count punches.
I can count punches. I mean, really what it boils, all good matches are based around good punches, right? I should just count good punches.
Yeah, and then that's the rating.
How many good punches do you think I'm going to get on TakeOver?
Total. You are getting Gargano versus Ciampa, so quite a few.
Yeah, Gargano has a good punch.
Yeah, and so does Ciampa. And those two are in a... Have you seen their feud?
Yes, I have.
You know, that should have some good punches. That could be a 17-star match.
Maybe Shayna Baszler. She strikes me as having a good work to punch.
She does, yeah. I actually don't know the card. I've fallen behind on NXT.
Every TakeOver, I feel like we all sort of say, like, oh, this is a bit weaker on paper, but then TakeOver always comes through.
It's always like,
this one, it looks okay. I don't know. There's nothing I'm super excited about, but that's also because Elmas is there.
No? Yeah. Oh, yeah. No Elmas.
Aww. Yeah.
That's sad.
All right. All right. Now we've gotten way off topic.
We have. I'm looking up the card now. Oh, Nikki Cross versus Baszler.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Chicago Street Fight. Oh, boy.
I think the tag could be good.
Oh, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. And by the way, this episode is coming out on June 25th, so way after TakeOver. So let's move on. So next week, even further away from TakeOver. Actually,
Tweet us who you think is going to win at TakeOver, everyone.
Yeah, tweet us, please.
When this episode comes out.
So July 2nd, next week, this is a day after Canada Day and 2 days before America Day. We're going to be watching the Junkyard Invitational.
Oh, yeah, we will.
And we'll give our thoughts on that.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a thing we'll be talking about.
Oh yeah. I there's a lot to talk about with
that. Yeah, so tune in next Monday.
Including the first appearance on this very podcast of LA Park.
Yeah. Oh boy, is it?
Oh man.
Oh, So who booked the pod on Twitter? I want to know, your thoughts on this match would be great, that we just watched and talked about. But also, if you could tell me what time you want me to upload on Monday, like I can upload it at midnight, just as the day starts. I can upload it right before Raw in the afternoon. I can do it anytime. So let me know what works best for you guys, and I'll do that.
My vote is like midnight, so that people can listen to it during the day, you know, or like before work on Monday.
Yeah,
you know?
That's probably a good idea. If you agree with JR,
yeah,
tweet at me with hashtag JR is right about time, and I'll
all of it. JR, all of JR's theories on time
are correct. Yes. So
next week we're going to talk about the new chronology.
We will. that's it. We're done.